We're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Bey's nine lines from the bottom line against Tziloi. The Gemara tells Nechemya Breder of Chaniloi Meshachtet Shmaita. Nechemya Breder of Chaniloi was one time very fartifed in his learning, in something that he had heard in learning, and he was thinking about it and walking on Shabbos. Venofa chutz l'tchum, and he wound up walking outside the tchum without even realizing that he had, because he was so deep in thought. So now he all of a sudden realizes that. So now he looks up, and all of a sudden he realizes he's outside the tchum. And the din would be, as we've learned before, that if you're outside the tchum, you can only walk four amos. Omelet of Chista, Lord of Nachman. So Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman, who was this Nechemya's Rebbe, Nechemya Talmid Chashori B'tzar. Your Talmud Nechemya is in trouble because he is stuck within four amos. In other words, the question was, what can we do for him? Omelet, said Rav Nachman, says, Aselo Mechitza Shobnei Adam V'Yikonis. Make a Mechitza of people for him, and he'll be able to come in. In other words, what you do is, Pashat, you get a bunch of people, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, exactly how it works and how you're able to do it. But you get a bunch of people together to surround him at intervals of less than three tfachim, so lovud. And then that way, you in effect, what you have is like this. What you're accomplishing with those people is, you're making that now he's within an enclosed area. Now, we've learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara so far about, you have, for example, a person was placed into a dir v'sahar by goyim on Shabbos in an enclosure. We said that Rav Gamliel says you're allowed to walk throughout the whole thing. The whole enclosure counts as if it was four amos. So here, the idea would be the enclosure of the people counts in the same kind of way. It counts, so therefore he's allowed to walk throughout the whole enclosure. Now, what happens is they make sure one end of this enclosure, one end of this group of people, is within his original tchum. So he's, let's say, so Nechemya is standing, let's say ten amos outside the tchum. So what you do is you make sure that the ring of people surrounding him extends out far enough where he is, as well as the other end of it extends to within the original tchum, within 2,000 amos of the city. Therefore, he's allowed to walk throughout that whole enclosure. And once he did, then already he's back in his tchum, and then he's allowed to go back home. Similar to the way we learned at the beginning of the Perek, that if a person is outside the tchum where he only has four amos and he has to go to the bathroom, so we said that he's able to go and walk to find a bathroom, because God or kovod habrias, we said kovod habrias, the human dignity is an important thing. And once he does that, if he's smart, we said in the Gemara, then he walks in the direction of his original tchum to find a private place to go to the bathroom. And if in doing so he ended up within his original tchum, then he's allowed to walk back home. Then it's considered he has his original tchum again. So Rav Nachman is saying the same thing over here, but with the twist that it's not that Nechemya is going to look for the bathroom, it's that we're going to use a bunch of people as the enclosure around him, and that way the other end of the enclosure, he'll be able to walk within that and eventually be back in his own tchum. So the Gemara tells, Yosef Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Achoda de Rava. So now Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was sitting as a Talmud behind Rava when this took place. The Yosef Rava Kameda Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Rava was Rav Nachman's Talmud. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was Rava's Talmud eventually. And right now he was one of the junior Talmudim who's sitting in front of Rav Nachman but behind Rava. The way it worked in those days was that only the Talmidim in the front row had the right to ask questions. The ones in rows behind them would have to filter their questions through the Talmidim in the front row, which, I mean, you know, the purpose for it would have been the pashtos that way. You know, that way we're talking in a senior yeshiva over here. You know, we're not talking over here in a cheder for little kids. So like this, the idea would be that this way the questions will be filtered. This way the Rosh Yeshiva only gets the good questions, like the ones that are easily disposed of. The Talmidim themselves can answer. Tosfos points out, by the way, from here and from a number of other Gemaras, we see that plain Rav Nachman in the Gemara is not Rav Nachman or Yitzchak. Plain Rav Nachman in the Gemara is a different Rav Nachman than Rav Nachman or Yitzchak, as we see over here in the Gemara. In fact, his name was Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov was his name. So usually the Gemara doesn't usually identify him by his father's name. It usually just identifies him as Rav Nachman. But when it's necessary to when it's necessary, because there are other Reb Nachmans around, then the Gemara will use the name Reb Nachman by Yaakov. There's a Rashi in Gittin which seems to imply that plain Reb Nachman in the Gemara is Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. So Tosfos points out from here and from various other Gemaras, we see it's not so. Anyway. So like this again, you had Reb Nachman as the Rosh Hashiva. Rava is in the first row behind him. We're holding on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. And Reb Nachman Reb Yitzchak is one of the junior Talmidim, who's sitting behind Rava. So when this happened, that Reb Nachman gave this psak, that we can make a mechitza of people around somebody who went out of the tchum, and that way you make sure the other end of the mechitza is within the tchum, and that way he's able to go in. So Amalei Reb Nachman Reb Yitzchak l'Rava, my komibayulei l'Rav Chista. So Reb Nachman Reb Yitzchak asks Rava, what was Rav Chista's question in the first place when he comes and tells Reb Nachman, Nechemya Talmid Chashori B'tzar, that Nechemya is in trouble because he accidentally walked outside the tchum? Doesn't Rav Chista know what the din is? So what exactly is the point of Rav Chista's question, where then Rav Nachman had to give a psak halacha? Ilem b'demolu gavriya skinen. Are we talking about that you have enough people over there who, now, by the way, of course, the people who are going to go and form one end of this mechitza outside the tchum obviously can't be people from the same city that Nechemya himself was from, because they themselves can't walk out the tchum. So either they could be from the same city and they made an Erev Tchumen. They could be from a nearby city where this place happens to be within their tchum. Or they could be Goyim, for that matter. But whatever. Anyway, Reb Nachman Yitzchak says, "Ilemi b'demolu gavriya skinen." Are we talking about that there are enough people where you're able to make a full enclosure like that of people within three tefachim of each other and surround the entire area from where Nechemya is outside the tchum, and surround him all the way on that side and all the way to the other side to within the tchum? So you have enough people for that. And then Reb Chista's question would just be, is the halacha in fact like Reb Gamliel of our Mishnah or not? Where we had in our Mishnah the case where a person was taken outside the tchum on Shabbos and placed into another enclosed area, deer or sahar. We said that Reb Gamliel allows him to walk throughout, Reb Gamliel and Reb Elazar ben Azariah allow him to walk throughout the enclosure because they consider the entire enclosure as if it was four amos, even though, and here's the key thing, as we've learned before in the Gemara, even though it's not Shavas ba'avir mechitzis, even though he didn't start Shabbos within that enclosure, Reb Gamliel and Reb Elazar ben Azariah still say that's fine. So here it would be the same kind of scenario. Nechemya didn't start out Shabbos within this enclosure of people, but now during Shabbos he finds himself enclosed by it. So the question would be whether it counts whether in fact he is able to walk throughout the whole thing, like Reb Gamliel says, and then that the result would be that that the other end of this enclosed area is within his original tchum, and therefore he's able to go back into his original tchum, and then we're fine. Keeping in mind, of course, that he went out of the tchum to begin with, shaloi ladas, because he went out there, he was fatifed in his learning. So if he went out deliberately, then we said he'd only have four amas, even if he did come back in. Anyway, is that the question of Rav Chista? Is the halacha like Reb Gamliel or not? Oy dilma b'deloi molu gavriya skinan, or maybe we're talking about there's not enough people to make a full enclosure like that. So there might not be enough people to make a full enclosure. The enclosure that we make of these people would end two amos away from where Nechemya is. And then then the question would be, then in which case Rav Chista's question would be whether the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer or not, which we're going to learn at the end of our perek. If a person goes outside of the tchum, Rabbi Eliezer says that if he goes up to two amos outside of the tchum, he's still able to come back in. Why? Because we know that the person has four amos. Rabbi Eliezer over there holds, as we're going to see in the Gemara over here, that the person's four amos is two amos in every direction around him. So therefore, it comes out that his little tchum of four amos comes out. If he's up to two amos away from the edge of the original tchum, then he's still able to walk two amos, and then his he comes out at the edge of his original tchum, and therefore he'd be able to go from there. So in other words, in our scenario over here with Nehemiah, what would happen if we had only enough people to make a mechitza until two amos away from him? Then would we say he's able to walk those two amos? Then he finds himself within the mechitza, and then from there he's able to, walk. So that's the question. So what exactly was the scenario over here that Rav Chista is asking what the halacha is? Well, the question isn't Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yachid over here. The question is Tchumin. It's not a matter of taking baby steps. It's a matter of we need to have that he's outside the Tchum right now. If he were to, if we didn't have some way of fixing up the situation, he would be stuck within four amos. We want to get him back into town. So therefore, so Rav Nachman is saying that we make an enclosure of people, meaning the people have to be standing fairly close together within three Tvachim of each other in order to make a Mechitza.
How can you make an enclosure on Shabbos or Yom Tov?
One second, Ali. Avraham Moshe, you're asking how you can make an enclosure on Shabbos. That indeed is one of the things we're going to discuss in this sugya. That's one of the points we're going to take up over here. But what did you say, Ali? That matter of walking pachas midalat amos, that has to do as far as carrying things in Rishus Rabim. That has nothing to do with our situation over here, right? Actually, Tosfos asks the question, let's say we don't have enough people. So what? Let's make an enclosure of people that he can walk a certain distance, and then we'll reform the enclosure of the people, and then he can walk another little distance, and so forth. Tosfos says that no, because we're going to say at the end of our sugya that this whole thing only works one time. You can't do it again and again, because then already it becomes a gnai to Shabbos. It becomes a zilusa for Shabbos that you're making it like the. No. Again, you could have people where all of this area is within their tchum. No, let's say, in other words, the scenario is, let's say, for example, you have another town that's 1,000 amos away, where all of this is within their tchum and there's no problem of it. Or you have people from the same town who made an Erev Tchumen, and again, the whole thing is within their tchum and there's no problem of that. But yeah. So let's say, but... The pashtus not. The pashtus have to have their feet standing together, because otherwise you have, if just their hands are joined, that's above three tfachim from the ground, and that wouldn't... You know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Onward. So that was the question. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Pshita b'deloy molu gavriya skinan. It must be necessarily that we're talking about there weren't enough people to make a full mechitza, and therefore the question becomes, again, whether he's able to walk those two amos outside of the mechitza, like Rabbi Eliezer says, and then he's able to go back in. And if we were talking about you actually have enough people to make a full enclosure where one end of it surrounds him and the other end of it is within the tchum, then what would Rav Chista's question have been in the first place? We know already from previously in the Gemara that Rav said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel as far as all the cases in our Mishnah, both the dir v'sahar where he wasn't within the mechitzas before Shabbos, and the boat where he was within the mechitzas before Shabbos, but the boat itself moves. And Rav Chista is a Talmud of Rav, so he would know. So he would know what Rav says. So he would know the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. He would have no reason to even be asking. He wouldn't have had to come to Rav Nachman to ask what to do at all. He himself would have known that you could make this enclosure. And evidently, we have to be talking about there's not enough people to make a full mechitza. The end of the mechitza of people would end up being an amma or two away from where Nehemiah is. Or did Rabbi Eliezer come by? So therefore, his question would be, is the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah later on, whether... again, whether in general a person who walked up to 2 amos outside of the up to 2 amos outside of the tchum is still able to re-enter the tchum, whether we give him that grace of 2 amos because again he has 4 amos and he's in the middle of it. So that would have been the scenario. And the Gemara says dekanami. In fact, we can show that from the wording of from the wording that Reb Nachman used. Dekamala yikones, because we see that when Reb Nachman answered the question, he said it aseilei mechitza shabane adam v'yikones. Why does he would use the word yikones? To go in, he could just say make him a mechitza of people. Obviously, the purpose of it is for him to go into the tchum. Why does he need to say yikones? My yikones, lav b'loy mechitza. Evidently, it must mean that he's able to go in even in a certain area where there's no mechitza. So even though he's outside the tchum and there's no mechitza around him, he's able to start coming back in, namely to walk up to those up to 2 amos, and then he'll reach the mechitza of people, and then from there he's within the deer of a sahar, in effect, and then he can walk the rest of the way back into the tchum. So in other words, we're using two kolos over here. We're using Rabbi Gamliel's opinion in our Mishnah that if a person at any point during Shabbos ends up within Mechitzis, then he's able to walk throughout that whole area of Mechitzis. And we're also using, evidently, Rabbi Nachman is also using Rabbi Eliezer's heter, which is that if a person is up to 2 amos outside the tchum, then they're able to come in. And in this case, up to 2 amos outside of the enclosure, the Deir V'Sahar. Now, with all that said, the way we have it in the Gemara over here is that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok asked Rava the question, and he and Rava are going back and forth on this. Before now, we're going to have that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok is going to ask a question on this. Tosfos brings a different girsa that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok so far was not involved in the conversation at all. It was all he asked the question. Rava answered. Rava went through the possibilities and ended up saying that obviously we're talking according to Rabbi Eliezer. And now Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok comes and asks a question on it. So Esfer Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok Rava. We learn in a Braisa regarding a sukkah, nofal doifna, if the wall of the sukkah falls down during sukkahs, on Yom Tov, or Shabbos, lo yamid adam behemah v'kelim, you're not allowed to stand a person or an animal or kelim over there in order to make back up the wall. V'lo yizka v'samit alifer salei asadin, you're also not allowed to put up, to stand up a bed frame, and put a sheet over it. And now in all those cases, it doesn't look like binyan. It makes, especially when you're moving the bed frame, it looks like just okay. You don't have enough room in the sukkah, so you're trying to clear some space. So it's not so obvious. It's not a matter of maris ayin that you're making a binyan, but it still it would be also because you're making a wall. Because you're not allowed to make a temporary oil on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to make a temporary oil on Yom Tov. Needless to say, you can't on Shabbos. So what are you telling me? So here comes your question, Avraham Moshe. How are you able to make a mechitza of people on Shabbos? We see from this braisa that you can't make a mechitza on Sukkos. So Rava answers, at Amrit Limeha. So you're asking a question on the basis of that Braisa. I'll answer you with a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Oisa Adamas Chavera Doifen, Kadesha Yoicha Vyishta Vyishan. A person can make another person a temporary wall for his sukkah in order that he should be able to eat or drink or sleep in the sukkah. Vyifrisa Mitta, he is able to stand up a bed frame. Vyifrisa Lea Sadin, and spread out a sheet over it and make a wall that way. Kadesh le tipo chama ala mes v'ala oichlin, and he's allowed to do that with the bed frame in order that the sun doesn't shine on a mess that might be in the sukkah or on food that might be in the sukkah and cause them to spoil. So you are allowed to put such a thing on Shabbos, a mechitza. So by the same token, you're able to make a mechitza of people. Yeah, Tsar doesn't allow us to do dinim d'oraisa, and not all dinim d'rabbanon either. But so first we have to figure out kashin hadadi. Now Rava continues. Okay, Reb Nachman Vayitzchok, you have a point. You have a braisa that seems to contradict. I have a braisa that supports what Reb Nachman is saying. But the fact is, the braisas do seem to contradict each other. So how do we reconcile them? And the answer must be like Kasha Harav Eliezer Harabanan. The answer must be that the two brises, one of them represents the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and the other one of the Chachamim. Now we said at the top of the Amud that we're trying to make this thing with the temporary mechitza work for Nehemiah to be able to go back into the Tchum. We said we're trying to make that work. We're using Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, but that's a different opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We can say the halacha is like him as far as the two amas, and not say that the halacha is like him as far as a temporary mechitza. Because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you can't pick and choose when the two psakim contradict each other. You can't say, for example, you can't follow Rabbi Eliezer Lekula and somebody else Lekula where those two kulas contradict each other. But here, the two amas outside the tchum and a temporary oil, one has nothing to do with the other. So therefore, we're entitled to say the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in one and not in the other. So we gave an example. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, and that we said over there that if a person follows the Chum, a person can follow either Bes Shammai or Bes Hillel, but he can't follow the Kulos of Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, or the Chumras of Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel. And we said among the various answers we had over there was that we're talking about where the Kula and Chumra contradict each other. We had an example over there, for example, involving a din in Hilchus Trefus and a similar concept in the halachas of Tumas Mes, where Bes Shammai is Mekel in one and Machmer in the other, and vice versa with Bes Hillel, but it's both based on the same principle. How much of a spine has to be missing for it not be to be a spine? How much of a skull has to be missing for it not to be a skull? So if a person were to follow both kulas over there, then that would be wrong because they're contradicting each other. But over here, the two kulas have nothing to do with each other. Anyway. If somebody smarter figures out, then we'll deal with it then. But right now, we don't. Yeah. Okay. So where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argue on this point? The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, a window shade. So it's not really a window shade because it's not actually necessarily attached to the wall. You know, regular window shade that you think of is usually attached to the window frame. So it's a window closer, I guess you could say. It's like a board or something. What? Well, even in Israel, the shutters they have over there are hinged and attached to the walls. There's no question you can open and close those on Shabbos. The question is, here we're dealing, it's a loose board which you pick up and put in the window. So Rabbi Eliezer says that if it's hanging from a rope, and we learned this in Shabbos, and it's hanging off the ground, so in other words, number one, it's attached using a rope, and number two, the rope is not long enough for it to drag all the way down to the ground, it's hanging in the air, then you're allowed to close up the window with that on Shabbos, because then it doesn't look like binyan, because then it looks more clearly like something that's made to close the window. If not, then you're not allowed to close the window with it because it looks like boina. Now, this is an example of something that's arai, of something that's temporary, because eventually you're going to open the window again. But chum say either way you're allowed to. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer does not allow you to make an oil arai, and the chachamim do. So there you go then. So then in our case of the oil, you're making a mechitzas arai involving the people to surround Nehemiah. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't allow it, but the Chachamim would. Good. So the halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore there's no problem, says Rabbi. The problem with that is what? Well, that's the steer. The answer of the steer between the two braises is the first one that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak used for the question is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the second one is according to the Chachamim. But v'ha'itmar Allah, but there was said about that even the Chacham, that there was a restriction even within what the Chachamim say. Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hakol Moedim She'en Oisin Oihal Arai B'tchila B'yamtav Ve'en Tzorech Lomim B'Shabbos. Both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that you're not allowed to begin with make an oil Arai on Yomtav, needless to say on Shabbos. So in other words, it's only in the case of a window stopper where you already have a wall there and you're just adding to the existing wall by putting the window stopper in, that's when the machloikas would be. The argument is only when you're adding to an existing wall, which in effect is what you're doing when you're putting in this pkak. the pekakas, the window closer. So Rabbi Eliezer says you can't do that on Yom Tov. Needless to say, you can't do that on Shabbos. The Chachamim say you're allowed to add it on Yom on Shabbos. Needless to say, you're allowed on Yom Tov. Now, in this case involving our mechitza of people that we're talking about over here, you're making a whole new oil. Even the Chachamim shouldn't be allowing that. You're doing it on Shabbos. So how does that work? Now, one thing we have to point out in this connection is Tosfos mentions over here that in the Gemara, now Rashi's shitta is that when we talk about an oihel on Shabbos, we're specifically talking about a roof. According to Rashi, in Shabbos, there's no problem making a mechitza from the side on Shabbos. The only question would be as far as a roof from on top. Therefore, Rashi learns over there in Shabbos that the pekak halon we're talking about is a cover for a skylight. Because if it was a cover if it was a stopper for a window in the side of the wall, then according to Rashi, there would be no problem with it. So now, how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So that would be hard to fit with our Gemara over here, where we're talking about making a mechitza from the side. So in fact, Rashi over here seems to learn differently. And in fact, there are Rishonim who point out, among others, the Ritva, that Rashi seems to have changed his mind. The Ritva points out this is an example of being Moidala Emes, where Rashi agrees that the original most of the Rishonim in fact disagree with Rashi on that, and say that that making a mechitzas arai would also be a problem, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that the basic question is this mechitza coming to be matir something? The way it's brought ultimately in Shulchan Aruch, based on the whole discussion of Rishonim on this, is if it's a mechitza that's not meant to be matir anything, then sure, you're allowed to put up a mechitzas aray on Shabbos, and it's only a question with an oil aray. But if you're trying to make it to be matir something, an example it gives in Shulchan Aruch is that it says in halacha, in halacha, a couple is not allowed to have relations when there's a light in the room. Or where there's svarim in the room or whatever. So what if you want to put up a mechitza to block that? Then you would have a problem doing that on Shabbos because that mechitza is coming to be matir or something. As opposed, so we have to figure out then how that's going to fit over here. So anyway, the point is that the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim seems to be relevant only when you're adding to an existing oil. Here you're making a new one, you're making a new mechitza of people. So even according to the Chachamim, that shouldn't be allowed. So we're back to the question, how is Rabbi Nachman saying, make a mechitza of people, and we're going to allow Nehemiah back in that way? And we still have the question, how do we reconcile the two brises? Again, we can't say that one is according to Rabbi Eliezer and the other according to the Chachamim, because there's no reason the Chachamim should allow it either when you're coming to a wall of a sukkah to put it up. Rather, we can answer that the two brises, one is according to the mayor and the other is according to Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya, asal lebehema doifen lesukkah. If a person makes an animal a wall for his sukkah, Rab Meir posel for Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rab Meir says it's posel. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. So Rab Meir de kaposel hasam. So why Rab Meir? So that it comes out like this. If Rab Meir is saying that it's posel, alma loy mechitzahi, then it means, in other words, in effect, according to Rab Meir, that wall you're putting up an animal over there to form a wall. It doesn't actually form a wall la halacha. Therefore, hachashari delav midi kavid. So, in our scenario, it would be mutter to do it because you're not accomplishing anything useful. You're not accomplishing anything useful by it anyway. No, that's the point. According to the mayor, it's not valid as a wall of a sukkah. So, therefore, so what are you accomplishing by putting the animal over there? You're doing it for practical reasons. Let's say you're doing it because you're doing it, as we said in the brisa, because you don't want the sun to shine. You want to block the sun from the food or the mess or whatever in order that it doesn't spoil, or just, you know, for convenience, so you have a little extra shade over there. So that Rameo would allow, but he's saying it's not considered a valid wall of a sukkah anyway. In terms of making it a kosher sukkah, in other words, if this sukkah originally had three walls, most sukkahs, in general in the Gemara, a sukkah usually was made with only three walls. Nowadays, we're our minach chabad, is we're makbid to make four walls, but we know that the ikra adin oin is three. And in the times of the Gemara, that's generally how they used to do it. So if one wall falls down, you don't have a kosher sukkah anymore. So in terms of making it a kosher sukkah, putting a behemoth over there, according to the mayor, is not going to help anything. But in terms of practicality, to give a little shade, it will. So therefore, so here, Rabbi Yehuda, so here, Rabbi Meir would allow it. Delav me to COVID because he's not doing anything. Rabbi Yehuda to kamach shuhasam. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that it would be possible in the case, who's saying that it would be kosher in the case of a sukkah, alma mechitzah, meaning that he considers it a real full-fledged mechitzah. Therefore, hocha also. So therefore, when it comes to doing it on Shabbos, necessarily he would have to say it's also because you're putting up a mechitzah on Shabbos. You're putting up a mechitzah. In particular, you're putting up a mechitzah, because you're actually making the sukkah kosher thereby. Before, the sukkah has only two walls and it's possible, and now you're making it kosher by adding the third wall. Okay. So therefore, here you have an example of a kula and a chumra that contradict each other, at least according to Rashi. Of two kulas that contradict. If you were to say, for example, you can put up the animal there as a wall on weekdays, and you can also put it there on Shabbos, then those would be two kulas that contradict each other. Because are you considering that you're is it making a valid mechitza or is it not making a valid mechitza? Would be permissible on Shabbos because anyway you're not accomplishing anything in terms of making a mechitza, but the kula of saying that it's a valid mechitza would make it that you can't do it on Shabbos, right? Now, by the way, I mean even this is only dealing with this is only dealing with the matter of the animal. We mentioned in the first brisa we mentioned a person or kalim as well. There, maybe you have a different issue. And in fact, by the way, the Gemara in Sukkah has a number of different reasons for a mayor's opinion why you can't make an animal for a Sukkah. Besides, one reason might be because the animal might run away, in which case then that shouldn't apply to a person or kalim. Another reason would be because it's a mechitza of shasuya beruach. It depends on the animal's breath to be there, and in that case that wouldn't be relevant to kalim either. So if it's tied, then you don't have it so much of an issue, because then even if it dies, it won't sag. That's another point the Gemara mentions over there. Yeah, is it might die and then it'll sag down. You don't have a mechitza. So if it's tied in place, then you don't have that. So the Rashi mentions over here that, look, the Gemara could have mentioned any of those points, but the Gemara anyway is going to slog up this explanation that we're talking according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore the Gemara doesn't bother. Meanwhile, though, I mean, Tosfos points out that anyway, I mean, we're still back to the question, okay, let's say we reconcile the two braises. We're still left with how do we understand the story of Nehemiah, where we're making a mechitza over here to be matir him in order to come back in. So Tosfos learns the answer of the Gemara a little differently than Rashi does. The Sar Mikutzi explains like this. Rav Meir says it would be possible for Sukkos because it can't stand there the entire 7 days of Sukkos. Even if, let's say, you could have an animal can stand there for a little while, but it's not going to stand there the entire 7 days and then be your mechitza. Therefore, the mayor would say that as a temporary mechitza, it would be allowed. In the case of Nehemiah, again, the people aren't going to be standing there the whole 7 days. So to make such a thing on Shabbos would be fine. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda, and even for the sukkah, Rabbi Meir might allow it. I mean, if you're going to put the animal there for a few minutes, it's not going to run away in a few minutes' time. He's talking about you can't have it there for the. He's talking about you can't have a wool. You can't make a wool that's not going to be suitable for the entire 7 days of sukkahs. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda would say the other way around. Okay. So the problem with that is v'tisbara. How could you think that svara that the two brises are according to the mayor and Rabbi Yehuda? Eimer de shamet leilad a mayor behema. Even Rabbi Meir is only talking about that you can't make an animal as a wool for your sukkah. Odim v'kelim mishamet leil. Where do you ever find that he says anything about a person or kelim? So the first brisa had mentioned that lo yamid odim behema v'kelim. Or bed frame over there. So fine, you've answered the case of a behemoth. But how does that explain the person or the kalim or the bed or whatever? Vatura Meir al Libidaman. Also, we have to ask Rav Meir's opinion himself. When he would be saying that it's mutter to put up such a temporary mechitza on Shabbos, which of the Tanoim of the earlier generation would he be following? If he was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, which after all, Rabbi Eliezer was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva, who in turn is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. So if we were to assume that Rabbi Meir is following Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Lahoisif Nami also knew, we said before, that Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow even to add to an oil arai, because we had in the case of the window blocker. Evidently, we have to say that a mayor is going according to the Rabbanon. But again, we're back to the question, again, even the Rabbanon only allow you to add to an oil arai, they don't allow you to create one in the first place. So we're back to the question of, number one, how are we making a mechitzas arai for Nehemiah to go back in? And number two, how do we have any brisa, even if we're going to say that one brisa is according to the mayor, that's going to allow us to put an adam or behemoth or kalim or whatever to be a wall for the sukkah? So we have to answer both brises do go according to the Rabbanon. So why do we have one that's mekel and one that's machmer? The kalim akalim lekasha. There's no contradiction between the parts about the kalim. Habadofen shlishis habadofen revius. It depends whether you're talking about third wall or fourth wall. So if you're making it a third wall, that actually makes it an oil. Now, there is an understanding of the Raivad here that we're not necessarily talking about a sukkah. We're not necessarily talking about a sukkah for the mitzvah on sukkahs. We can be talking about just a sukkah, a shady area that you want to sit in throughout the year. So still, two walls of it is not really enough for it to be functional. The third one makes it functional. And then once you have three, if you add a fourth one, it doesn't really add anything more. As opposed to over here, Rashi and most of the other Rishonim understand that we're talking about a sukkah shal mitzvah. So the same idea. In other words, two walls is not a valid sukkah. Three walls, it becomes a valid sukkah. And if you have three walls already, then the fourth one is not adding anything in terms of halacha. The Ravid says that we're talking about a sukkah, just a sukkah in order to sit in for shade. No, not on the Ram. I'm just the Ravid wrote a lot of different things. So Habad Dofen Shlishis, Habad Dofen Revis. So it depends whether you're talking about the third wall or the fourth wall. So the third wall, you would not be allowed to put anything over there, Behema or Adam or Kalim, because in effect, that is making a new mechitza, because now you're making it into a usable sukkah, usable throughout the year, according to the Ravid, usable for sukkahs, according to Rashi and everybody else. Habad Dofen Revis, as opposed to if it's the fourth wall that fell down and you, or not even fell down, you want to put up a fourth wall to begin with now because you want more shade, you want to prevent the mess from spoiling or whatever. So then that would be allowed because it was already a functional sukkah without that. Dekanami dekatani nafal doifna. So okay, in fact, we can see that from the wording of the braisa, because the first braisa uses the expression nafal doifna. If its wall fell down, its wall implies a wall which is an absolute necessity for it to be a valid sukkah, which could only be the third wall. If it was a fourth wall, you can't call it doifna. So that would be the case. Where's the second braisa when it says oisa adamas chaveda doifen? It's talking about you already have three walls and you're adding a fourth wall in order to you. Okay, so that takes care of the two brises. Ela odema odem kasha. First of all, actually, no, we haven't quite finished with the two brises. We still have the question. Okay, so when it comes to the behema, or it comes to the bed or the kalim or whatever, then fine. But when it comes to the person, you have one brisa saying that you're allowed to put people over there, and another one saying that you're not. How do you reconcile that? And again, the braisa is using the two. Let's look at the two braisas again. The one braisa says that you're not allowed to put odem behem of a kalim. The second one is saying that you're making a person that a person is making another person a wall. Kadesha yoichal v'yishtev yoshin, so that he can eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah, implying that without that he's not going to be able to because it doesn't have a third wall. Well, if it doesn't have a third wall, how are you allowed to put a person over there? You're back to the same problem that you're making a mechitza in order to make the sukkah valid. The answer is odama odam nami lekasha kan ladas kan shalemi das. It depends whether the person is there ladas. He knows that he's standing there for a mechitza versus shaloi ladas. So it's one thing, in other words, when it comes to kelim, derech binyan bekach, it's normal sometimes to make an oihel or even a temporary oihel or whatever using kelim. It's not normal to make an oihel with people. Therefore, if the person is standing there, shaloi ladas, he doesn't even know that he's standing there for this purpose. You just asked him, stand there a minute. You didn't tell him why. And he's standing over there. That we're not even going to consider to be a mechitzas arai. Let's say he thinks he's standing there in order to get a picture taken or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Whatever it is, the point is he's standing there without realizing why he's standing. That would be mutter. Whereas if he knows that he's standing there for the sake of a mechitza, then not. So the question is, now let's get back to the original story that we started with. Wasn't it Ladas? But Pashtus, when Rav Nachman says, go gather people together and make a mechitza around him, but Pashtus, the people know why they're being assembled over there. So it's Ladas. So how are we allowed to do it? By the way, we see in this story that the Nechemia has gotten an upgrade. We started the story just calling him Nechemia Breder of Chaniloi. Now we're calling him Reb Nechemia Breder of Chaniloi. It could just be a copyist thing, though. You know, it's not live Dafka that has any significance. Anyway. The answer is Shaloi Midas Hava. As a matter of fact, it was Shaloi Midas. They gathered the people together there. They didn't tell them why they're there. They just told them, please go line up over there. But they didn't tell that nobody told them why they're doing it. The question, they're practicing for camp. Yeah. The question is, Rav Chista Mia Ladas Hava. Okay, but Rav Chista at least knows that he's making a machitza because he's the one who gathered them together for this purpose. The answer is Rav Chista Shaloi Min Aminyan Hava. The answer is, okay, but he wasn't one of the actual people who made up the mechitza, so therefore it's not a problem. In other words, so the Lamaskana, it's not a problem if, so let's say you who are sitting in the sukkah, it's Ladas for you, you ask somebody else to stand there to be a wall for your sukkah, as long as it's Shaloi Ladas for him, then it's fine. You yourself are not forming the mechitza. So therefore, as long as nobody in that mechitza knows what purpose they're there for, then it's fine. It sounds like a very strange thing, and we're going to see at the. They didn't necessarily realize that he's stuck. So one second, let's continue. Hanu bnei gnona. It happened once that these people who make chuppas, that was their job, is to make chuppas for people. Da ilu maya b'mechitza shel bnei adam. They used the mechitza shel bnei adam like this to bring water in from outside the tchum. Nagdinhu Shmuel, and Shmuel gave them Malkus for it, Malkus Maudrus, because they were over on a Dindirabonon. Omar, because Shmuel said, Im Omru Shaloi Midas, Yomru Ladas. Okay, we say that such a thing works Shaloi Ladas. It doesn't work Ladas, where they know, actually Rashi explains it wasn't from outside the Tchum. What it was is, they wanted to bring the water from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh HaYachid. The same logic that we're saying, that you can make a Mechitza Shabnei Adam, to be able to go from outside the Tchum to in the Tchum, the same logic would work in principle, as far as bringing something from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh HaYachid. So here they did that, but the problem was, it was Ladas. They knew that they're gathering for that purpose in order to be allowed. So that Shmuel saying you don't have a heter for that. So therefore you can't read on Shabbos, and therefore we're going to give you a petch for that. Then that would be all the worse if you tell them before Shabbos. But even if you tell them on Shabbos, no. Well, you mean saying if they stand there the whole time before Shabbos? But Pashtus, it still would be the same problem. I mean, it's still a mezalzel in Shabbos. If you're making an actual... Again, we said to begin with, that first of all, they could be people who made an Erev Tchumen. Remember, Nechemia didn't make an Erev Tchumen, so he's stuck outside 2,000 Amos. You could have people from the same city who made an Erev Tchumen, so they have 4,000 Amos in that direction. Or... Yeah, you could have. No, what do you mean, how would you get them? The city itself, let's say, is within the tchum of the original one. The city, the next city over is 2,000. Remember, you're not talking about cities like nowadays where cities extend for miles. You're talking about the small towns they had in those days. I think more like bungalow colonies. So you could have another one, which is within a tchum Shabbos of the original one. So you're able to go there, and or for that matter, you don't even have to go all the way to the city. You stand some distance away from the city, and you yell out to them and say, we need some people out here.
Well, I would say this is the city. Chemi lives over here. All the other people
Well, that's true also. No, no. If they all live in the same city, it doesn't matter. Everybody who lives in the same city has the same tchum. Yeah. Doesn't matter where in the... Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they can live in the next town over and it would work. Yeah, yeah. Again, it could also be they could get goyim for the purpose. It doesn't have to be Jews. It doesn't have to be Jews who are making up the machitza. What? Wouldn't make a difference whether it's Jews or goyim. No, it still wouldn't be good. No. Yeah, let's see. Okay, onward. Another example. Yeah. Well, we're not waiting. Hanu ziki dehavu shaden baristika de mechuzah. There were these wine skins or water skins or whatever bags that were used for carrying liquids that were in the street in mechuzah and they belonged to Rava. Bahadi de osa Rava mipirke. When Rava was coming back from his shiur, and you had a bunch of people surrounding him, or you have a bunch of people surrounding him in the street, Alinu Niale, so his shamash took the wine skins and brought them in, because here you have, in effect, you have a mechitza of people surrounding Rava. There's a huge crowd, so therefore they're not trying to be a mechitza, so therefore he brought them in. L'shabsa achrina boy Alinu, another Shabbos, he wanted to do the same thing again. But also lahu, and Rava told him at this point it's also to have a like ladas for also. At this point, it's considered ladas because now people are going to realize, now already from the first time, people realize what's going on, that they were serving as a mechitza. You can't do that again. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is what you can have is if you had people served as a mechitza on behalf of one person, they can serve as a mechitza on behalf of a different person another time. That we don't consider as necessarily going to be ladas, but they can't do it again for the same person. And here we have, it's for the same person, it's for the sake of Rava's wineskins. So therefore, it would be awesome. Yeah, so why were they in the street? Basically, but they were. Another example, Levi a'ilu le'tivna. For Levi, they one time used this method to bring straw in that had been left out in the street. Ze'iri aspasta. For Ze'iri, they did this kind of thing one time where he had aspasta, which is unripe stalks of grain that they used to use as animal food. Or it's a special crop, whatever. Yeah. Rav Shimi Bachia Maya, and for Rav Shimi Bachia, they did this in order to bring water in. In all those cases, it was Shaloi Ladas, and it's Mutter. In the end, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, so it is Mutter. However, it should only be done where there's Tzorich Gadol, where there's a great need for it. You shouldn't just stam do it because you left. You shouldn't stam do it because you left something in Rosh Hashanah Rabim only when you have an extreme need like this, like Nehemiah who's stuck outside the Tchum, or like these other examples. Yeah. Mishnah says, "Misha yotza birushus." So now this Mishnah, this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to talk about a case now like this. Normally, we said in the first Mishnah that a person goes outside the tchum, then they only have four amos. In some cases, fine. We said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. So if they're in a new enclosure, then their tchum is that entire enclosure. But that's it. They don't have a new tchum of 2,000 amos. Our Mishnah and the Gemara is going to talk about a case where a person gets a new tchum in the middle of Shabbos. They started out within one tchum Shabbos, and now later on, they're not where goyim enclosed them. That would be the case we had already, where they can walk within the enclosure, but that's it. No, here we're going to talk about where, again, the whole concept of a tchum of 2,000 amos is drabanan. So therefore, the same rabbanon who said that it's also to go outside 2,000 amos, they were able to make exceptions and say, in certain cases, when a person goes for a certain purpose, then we give them a new tchum of 2,000 amos from where they are now. So that's what we're going to discuss now. So the Mishnah says, Mishi yotza birushus. If a person went out of his original city with permission of the Chachamim. Examples, Rashi says, is number one, if a person is going for Eidus HaChodesh, so we know back when the Sanhedrin was Makadish the Chodesh Apiyariya, Edim had to come every month to say that they saw the moon, and that could take place on Shabbos. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that they do that. They're Mechal Shabbos in order to come. So that's an example of Yotzin Birushus. It means that, one second. They can actually be Mechal Shabbos even on a Daraisa level. The Mishnah mentions over there, for example, that let's say if it's dangerous, if there's people that might attack them on the way, they're allowed to take along sticks. They're allowed to take along food for the trip, even though this is carrying. Because but in particular, as far as Tchumen also, they're allowed to go outside the Tchum. Other examples, Rashi says, a person is going to save people from an attack by Goyim or from a flooding river. You know, you think of this Mishnah and this Gemara over here is very relevant to Hatzalah. So we'll talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, how a lot of these dinim relate to Hatzalah nowadays. Another example, Rashi says, is a midwife who's coming to help, to assist in a birth. So in all those cases, they're allowed to travel outside the tchum. That's mishi yatzeh b'rishus. On the way, they tell the person the thing is already done. The Jews have already been saved. The woman has already been given birth. The Sanhedrin was already mekadesh the chodesh, etc. What happens? Yeshloi alpaim amah l'chol ruach. He has a new tchum of 2,000 amas in every direction from where he is now. Now, actually, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah mentions that originally it wasn't like that. Originally, the din was that, for example, the Eidus HaChodesh, when they came to Yerushalayim, because they'd come from outside the Tchum, originally the Mishnah says over there, they were limited only to within, only the Chotzer that they were in. They brought them to this Chotzer called Beis Yazik, and they would stay there for the rest of Shabbos. They weren't allowed to go out of it. But then Rav Gamliel HaZaken made a takana that, because we don't want to discourage people in the future from coming. If they know in the future that they can only come and they're only limited within this place, they may not bother coming at all. So therefore he made the takana that they have a new Tchum of 2,000 in every direction. So here it's the same thing. So here it's the same thing. Im hoya b'secha tchum, if the person was within the tchum when they told him, ke'ilu lo yotza, then it's as if he'd never left. We'll see in the Gemara what that means exactly. And we'll see two different opinions on that, what it means in the Gemara. Also, kol ha'yotza mahatzo chozun l'mekaymam. Everybody who goes out to save is allowed to return back. Now again, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. This is relevant to Hatzalah, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. My im hoya b'secha tchum ki'il lo yatza. What does that expression in the Mishnah mean? If he was within the tchum, it's as if he didn't leave. Now, obviously, if he's still within his original tchum, obviously there's no chiddush. He didn't leave his tchum. Of course, he still has his original tchum. So what does the Mishnah mean by that? Omer Rabba hachikama. So Rabba says it means like this. Im hoya b'secha tchum shaloi ki'il lo yatza mitech beis ha'jami. It means like this. If he's still within his original tchum, then it's as if he never left his house. Meaning, in other words, like this we would say originally he had the tchum of his house. Now we're saying that once he finds out on the way that Nasa Maisa, we're saying that now he has a new tchum. So Rabba is saying that no, if he's still within the original tchum, then he still has only his original tchum. We don't need to give him a new tchum of 2,000. He's still within his original tchum, and that's it. He doesn't get a new tchum. His tchum is still 2,000 amas from his house or from his city. We don't say that he gets 2,000 from every direction from where he is now. So in other words, so the point is, Rabbi is saying, so if he's outside his original tchum, then he gets a new tchum of 2,000. But if he's still within his original tchum, the point is not, he doesn't get a new tchum of 2,000 amas relative to where he is now. We just consider his tchum is still the original tchum of his house. So he returns back home, and then for the rest of Shabbos, he can still walk in 2,000 amas every direction from his house, not from where he is right now. Rav Shimi Bachia, Amar Hachikama, Rav Shimi Bachia says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means im hoyu tchumen shenosnu lechachamim muvloyin b'secha tchum shaloi. It means if the new tchum that the chachamim gave him overlaps his original tchum, then it's as if he never left his original tchum. Meaning, Rav Shimi Bachia is being much more makel. He's saying that what we do is, because the tchumim overlap over here, what we do is we say he's now in a place where we would have to give him a new tchum. He's outside his original tchum, but that overlaps with the original one. So he walked less than 4,000 amas, in other words. So now what we do is now we consider as if it was one big tchum. So now he has that entire area, both rectangles, as his tchum. So he's able to walk within that. He's able to walk within that new tchum So now he's still able to walk within that one. He's also able to return. So what happens is he walks that entire tchum, having come to the end of that new tchum. He's now already within his original tchum, and from there he can walk back home. So it comes out that he's able to walk. So he's able to walk that entire distance. Whereas again, Rabba would say that not. Rabba would say if he's at this point over here, then he has a new tchum, midrabanan, fine. But once he walks within that tchum, that doesn't allow him to return back home because that would be beyond his current tchum. Okay. But my kamiflagi, what's the underlying machlokas between Rabba and Rav Shimi Bachia? The Machloka says, Marasava have lost Tchumim Milsehi. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya says that the fact that two Tchumim overlap is considered something significant. So the fact that the new Tchum overlaps with the original one, it's considered as if it was one big Tchum, so therefore, in effect, he never left his Tchum. Whereas Rabba holds that not. The fact that two tchumim overlap doesn't help you. It gives you, you have your new tchum, but you don't have your original tchum back. Now Rashi says, now we learned at the beginning of the perek, we had the case again, where a person is a little bit outside the tchum, and then he only has four amos, and there we said, he has to go to the bathroom. We said he's allowed to look for a place to go to the bathroom, gadol kavod abrius, and we said the nahadoi said over there, that if he's smart, he starts walking in the direction of his original tchum, and then he winds up within his original tchum, and then he's allowed to continue back home. Rashi says Rabba would disagree with that concept, because there you also have a similar kind of thing, two tchumim that overlap, because his mini tchum of four amos, his original tchum of 2,000, that's a case where they overlap, because he walked out of one to get to the bathroom, and so Rashi says Rabba would disagree with that concept. Tosfos says that not, Tosfos says the difference is over there, he didn't stay within his four amos. The whole point of that case over there was he went out of his four amos to find a private place where he could go to the bathroom. So there he's outside his four amos. We need to give him a new four amos, and that happens to be within his original tchum, so then we can say he gets back his original tchum. As opposed to over here, he has a tchum of 2,000 to begin with. So therefore, Rabba would say that the fact that overlaps with his original 2,000 amos tchum doesn't help us. Then Rashi brings a whole nother explanation, a different girsa in the Gemara, that what we're talking about over here, that the case is, Rashi explains that he did leave his original tchum. Again, the way we have the girsa in front of us in the Gemara is that Rabba would say that only if he's within his original tchum does he have his original tchum. If not, once he went out of it, he has his new tchum of 2,000, but he can't go back into his original one. And Rav Shimi Bar Chiya is saying he can. Rashi brings a different girsa over here, that Rabba would say, that Rabba would say, yes, okay, he has 2,000 amos from where he is, according to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, we would say that it's as if he never left his house. Now he's already in the second tchum. He's already more than 2,000 amos away from a city, but we would still say that he actually has both. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya would say he now has a double tchum. He has the tchum of his new place and the tchum of his original house. In effect, therefore, he would be able to walk as much as 8,000 amos on that Shabbos, because he can walk almost 8,000, 79.99, because he can walk all the way from here. So he was over here, let's say, when they told him that Kvar Nasa Maisa. So he has a new tchum over here. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya would say he's able to walk till the edge of that tchum. From there, he's able to walk back throughout his new tchum and his old tchum. He has both of them, whereas Rabba would say he only has his new tchum, and not his old tchum. To be exact, what Rashi says is, according to Rabba, no, Rabba would agree he can go back home, but Rabba would say once he goes back home, that's it. He goes back to his original tchum, he loses the new tchum. As opposed to, according to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, he has the new tchum and the old tchum for that Shabbos. Okay. Amalei Abaye l'Rabba. So Abaye says to Rabba, "Va'at le'tisbara da have lost tchum and milsehi." Don't you agree that the fact that tchum and overlap is considered something significant? Uma ilu Shabbos b'ma'ara. Imagine a case of a person who spends Shabbos in a cave. Now you can see this. You can see the diagram in Rashi over here of the cave. You can also see a picture of it over here. We're talking about a cave which has two entrances. Now, let's say that the cave is wider on the bottom than it is on the top. So you have the inside the cave is more than 4,000 amos, but that's fine, because even though, no matter how large it is, it's still an enclosed area, and you would be able to walk throughout the whole thing. On top of it is less than 4,000 amos because it narrows towards the top, and therefore it's from one entrance of the cave to the other is less than 4,000. Lo nimtza mahalachas kula v'chutz la'alpayim amah. Wouldn't the din be, and everybody agrees to that, that you would be able to walk the entire length of the cave as well as 2,000 amos in each direction from the two entrances, meaning because Rashi explains again because it's a case of have lost tchumen because the two entrances are within 4,000 amos of each other, the tchum of one overlaps with the tchum of the other. So therefore, if the top of the cave was 4,000 amos, then the only way to get from one to the other would be through the cave. You'd have to go down and go through the cave, and then that would be fine because the cave is an enclosed area. You can walk in it no matter how large it is. But because the two entrances are within 4,000 amos, then you don't even need that. The two tchumim overlap, and the din is that you're allowed to walk outside the cave, and you're allowed to walk 2,000 amos in each direction, no matter which, in other words, whichever entrance you came out of, you're allowed to walk on the top all the way to the other entrance and 2,000 amos from there. So we see that have lost chumen is something significant. Amalei, so Rabbah says, "V'leshoni loch hevein heicher de shavas ba'aver mechitzes mo'ed yoyim laheicher de leshavas ba'aver mechitzes mo'ed yoyim." Don't you know there's a difference between whether he started out Shabbos within those mechitzes or not? In the case of the cave, yes, he started out Shabbos within the cave, so the cave becomes his rishus, and the two entrances to the cave, therefore, each of them is an entrance into his makom shvisa, into his house, in effect, and therefore the fact that the tchumen of the two entrances overlap allows him to walk above ground from one to the other and the whole 2,000 amos. Here we're talking about the person was not within these Ava Mechitzes before Shabbos. He only has a new tchum because the Chachamim granted him a new tchum because he was Yotze, he was Bereshus. So therefore, we can't say that have lost tchumen should make a difference. So the question is, V'heicha d'le Shavas loy? Still, you're telling me that if he didn't start out Shabbos within the Mechitzes, then we're going to say that, no, you don't say have lost Chumen. V'hatnan, we learn at the end of our Perek, Rebbe Eliezer, we quoted it before in the Gemara, Rebbe Eliezer, I'm shtayim yikonis, gimel lo yikonis. Rebbe Eliezer says that if a person is two amos outside the Chum, then he's still able to go back in, but three not. My love, Rabbi Eliezer, l'taimei, l'chura, Rabbi Eliezer is going, now we're going to ask why we're asking from Rabbi Eliezer if the halacha on the face of it is not like him, but we'll get back to that point in a minute. But on the face of it, Rabbi Eliezer is going according to his own svara, d'am avahu b'emtzon. He says when we talk about the four amos that a person has when he's outside the tchum, it means he's in the middle, it means he has two amos in each direction. V'arba amos t'yavale rabbanon kamanda mivlon damu. So therefore, the four amos that he has, the two amos that he has in every direction, overlaps with, the Rashi actually says it borders on the tchum that he had because he has two amos and then that the edge of that comes to 2,000 amos because he's two amos out. Actually, the Gemara later on says it a little bit differently. The Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer is talking about where he's less than two amos away from the edge of the tchum. There's like an amma and a half away, so therefore there is a certain overlap over there. Anyway, so therefore, v'ka'amar yikonis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're allowed to go in, back into his original tchum and back to his house. Alma have lost tchum and milsi. So you see that havla is considered something important. So why are you, Rabbah, saying that not? Omale Rabbah babachonah v'abaya. So Rabbah babachonah, or Rabbah babachonin, actually, it's supposed to be, says to Abaya, so what's the problem? Why are you even asking from Rabbi Eliezer where the halacha is not like him? The halacha is like the chachamim, that even if you're one amma outside the tchum, you can't go back in, unless you manage to do something like we had before with Nehemiah. So why are you even bringing a question from what Rabbi Eliezer says? So Abaya answers, "Ain." As a matter of fact, yes. Because I heard from our Rebbe, namely Rabba, "Ad kan lepligi aleid rabbanon aleid Rabbi Eliezer el dvar harishus." The Chachamim's argument with Rabbi Eliezer is only when it's a dvar harishus, only when to begin with he went out optionally, so then he wasn't supposed, he didn't have permission to go outside the tchum. So then we're talking about now, is he able to go back in? Is he able to go his two amos and then be back in? Aval ledvar mitzvah moidulei, but when he went out to begin with ledvar mitzvah, then they would be moida, that havla is considered something important. So why is Rabbah saying that havla is not? Why is Rabbah saying that havla is not important? So actually, Rashi points out, if we go looking at the two Lashonis that we had before in Rashi, the two explanations of what's going on over here, according to the first explanation, that Rabba would say once he's in his new tchum, he can't go back to his old one. Okay, then we understand what Abaya's question is, because we see over there he is able to return home. According to the second Lashon, Rashi says, I don't understand. Nobody's asking him to go home. Even Rabba is not asking him to go home. He just says he doesn't have his old tchum plus his new tchum, and Rav Shimi Bachia is saying he does. So Rashi says because maybe what we would say is in this case with the two amas, it's not, there's no overlap, it's just exactly one next to the other. He's two amas outside, then right at the end of the two amas begins the 2,000 amas, and we still see Rabbi Eliezer is allowing him to go in, and the Chachamim agree with him on Dvar Mitzvah. So we see, in other words, that there could be this concept of having two tchumim in effect. So that's it. So at least according to the first Lashon, we have schlugged up Rabba. According to the second Lashon, and Rashi, okay, we haven't schlugged up Rabba, but still, it doesn't work out so smoothly according to him. The halacha is like Rav Shimi Bachia, that in this case, in other words, we would say that he's able to return home according to the first Lashon, or that he's able to have the two tchumim, the old one and the new one, according to Rashi's second Lashon. This is where he went out L'dvar Mitzvah to begin with. And then he was told on the way, Kvar Nasa Maisa, and you don't need to go and do it. So then, okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about the next part about Chozer and Lemakayman, and we'll talk about Bez Hashem, the relevance of this to Hatzalah nowadays. If Tchum is the Raisa like Rabbi Akiva, then not necessarily would all these dinim apply. But then maybe we would say that, yeah. I mean, so even then, it might be that Midah Raisa, you could still say that a person goes out Bereshus, then he's able to have a new Tchum. Because then, in effect, you would say that he has a new Mokum Shvissa for the rest of that Shabbos. But I don't know. The Gemara is not taking that up.